Brethren, I really, in some respects, don't know where to start. This has been probably my most wonderful year in the Lord. I think this past year, I know in my own mind, I have shared more experiences with the Lord that he had than I ever have in my Christian walk. The physical problem that I've had this year is minor compared to many of the other experiences that I've had, mostly with the brethren. I'm very thankful for those experiences, though. I feel closer to the Lord now than I ever have in my life. I have more love for the brethren than I've ever had in my life. I believe I now understand what love for the brethren really is. One scripture that has helped me a lot this year is Proverbs 27:17. I'd like to read it, if I can find Proverbs. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I've learned to have joy in going head-to-head and toe-to-toe with the brethren or with my fellow man, with the realization that this sharpening helps to sharpen us, this rubbing, just grinding each other, really helps to sharpen us. And it helps to appreciate. It helps us to appreciate each other more. And it sharpens the countenance of our friend also. You know, you can come away rejoicing with each other that you've come to an understanding of each other. Not always agreeing, but coming to an understanding of each other. I've really appreciated that. I've had experiences this year where I've had to follow the Lord and making myself of no reputation. And I've learned a blessing in that. Keeping out of sight. Keeping low profile. Making yourself of no reputation. In order that you might help someone else, that you might be able to strengthen someone else, that you might be able to help someone else grow. And that's been a real blessing to me. Going through the physical experiences, some of them have been tough, but I've had encouragement and strength, especially from Sister Peg. She's been a wonderful helpmate. And Peg has a lot of faith. She has a strong faith. And we have a lot of love for each other. And she's been a wonderful, wonderful assistance to me spiritually and physically. And I've appreciated that. Our experiences have drawn us closer together. And a scripture I've come to appreciate more than ever is Hebrews 5, beginning with the first verse. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? And on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now, the basic application of this, you know. He's applying it to the priests back there who knew they were offering these sacrifices for those who were out of the way. But they realized that they themselves were out of the way. And so they could have compassion on these for whom they were offering the sacrifices. And let's bring it into our own situation. He's relating it to us because he says, because of the fourth verse, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. We have been called of God, and we are offering sacrifices. We're sacrificing for the world. We're being baptized into death. We're being baptized for the dead. But we're also, as brought out today, Colossians 1:24, we're laying down our lives on behalf of the brethren. But we can have compassion and understanding and love for our brethren because we know ourselves. We have weaknesses, and we were out of the way. We're only covered by the robe of Christ. So it helps us to understand and be more compassionate, more loving, more helpful. So those are just a few of the experiences I've had this year. I never experienced how pain can just debilitate the human body until I had it this year. And it has helped me understand and appreciate. When I get a surge of pain, I remember Brother Raffle. I remember Brother Raffle, what an example he was when he endured the pain that he went through with such a great attitude. And there are other brethren. But I can't explain it. It's just that pain really takes it out of you. And those who have gone through it, they understand that. But it helps me in understanding and appreciating my brethren's trials a lot more. So I ask in interest in your prayers that I might be found faithful to my covenant. We're living in tough times. And recently I was talking with a brother, and we were saying it's tough times, and you have to be tough, but you also have to be tolerant. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Owen. Not good sometimes to feel the pain, but the benefits of the pain, we can't deny they have a changing effect on us. And we're glad that you have not lost or wasted the experience of pain in your life, that it's been able to bring in you sympathy and understanding. Lord bless you, Brother Owen. Brother Larry?
Bob, glad he asked me to move this microphone. I thought, well, as long as I'm up here, I might as well avail myself this opportunity to address the household of faith. We are touched. I'm going to springboard from Brother Owen's testimony along the lines of Hebrews 5, 1 and 2. That sympathetic priesthood that we're all working for, I couldn't help but be moved last evening in our hotel room. We had turned on the television and watched a news documentary, I think it was 2020, on some children. Maybe some of you had seen that, some children in Romania. But aside from a few exceptions, it would be hard for me to think of any brethren who are walking this way to be part of the Abrahamic seed, part of that Melchizedek body, which will reach out and bless all the families of the earth and not be touched by the sorrow and pain of seeing a lot of little kids who are in very deplorable conditions. And 80,000, I think, Romanian children are put into institutions where they barely have enough room to move around, and the stench is so bad that people in our society would have it quite hard to just be around that environment. Medical treatment is absolutely in need, and I was so moved because there was one person who, a man named Upton, I think, John Upton, I'm not sure what his first name is, but he lived the American dream. He was a football player and had his, you know, half a million home on the hill and flashy new car and all the material things that life offered, and was quite comfortable. And yet, he saw this program showing these Romanian children and the situation that they were in, the plight they were in. And he was so motivated, he was so moved to go over to Romania and do something about this, that he sacrificed and laid everything on the line to go over there and to do a good work. He went over there, and not only once, but at least twice, perhaps three times by now, had gone over and tried to bring some of those children back and had succeeded. And it was not easy. He had to go through all kinds of research to find families, parents, grandparents. And one little girl, she had to scoot around on her bottom with her leg was gnarled up and twisted, not like backwards, but forwards. And he was so touched by her infirmities. And this man's compelling drive to want to help and restore happiness and hope in these children just moved Sister Debbie and I as we watched that. And I told Sister Debbie last evening, I said, every one of the body of Christ are going to have to be so compelled to lift up the world of mankind, to see their plight. And like Brother David said, let my people go from the minions of sin and death. And that drive, we know, you know, we're not doing a social gospel now. You know, we're doing good wherever we can to everyone, you know, especially the household of faith. But we have other directives right now in trying to develop becoming part of the great physician. But that should not make us immune from the sufferings and sorrows of this life that the world is going through. While we have our pleasantries and we have our nice conventions and we drive in our heated or air-conditioned cars to these and we have plenty of food and clothing and shelter and all these other things, it should not keep us from being cognizant on a daily basis of the suffering and sorrow and pain and sickness and death that the world of humanity is enduring all the time. And again, I share with my wife, I don't know how I can be truly happy until I know all that has stopped. And the Lord is reaching out to the world of mankind and through that Melchizedek priesthood, lifting them up a highway of holiness. So I was moved by that one man. It was a very touching documentary of one man's love, who isn't necessarily spirit begotten or anything like that, but he's a human being touched with feelings of human beings. And I think the reason why he felt that way was because he came from a very low socioeconomic beginning in his life, in a very poor condition, and took himself by the bootstraps up to where he was. And he was touched with a feeling of their infirmities, like Brother Owen was reading about in Hebrews 5, 1 and 2. Having compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. And then when he had the opportunity, he reached out to help these people in a most noble and admirable way. And brethren, each one of the high priests that we are aspiring to become are going to have that kind of motivation and love for humanity to make it. Otherwise, we won't belong there. So we appreciate that that lesson to ourselves. I've taken up a lot of time, so I'm not going to get into a lot of my own experiences, except to say I'm very thankful to be married to Sister Debbie for the last 22 years of my life, and the experiences that we've gone through We've had a lot of wonderful, wonderful blessings, of which we thank the Lord, and some hard trials and difficult experiences we've had to go through over those last 22 years, and it's just wonderful to have had each other, to bolster each other up along the way. And also, the last thing I'm going to say is that my son Ron, who had signed up for 6 years in the Marines, contrary to the encouragement of his mother and I, found out after a short period of time that he had made a big mistake, and yet he was locked in by the government to fulfilling his contractual, you know, agreement. And he came 3 weeks away from going into the Gulf War. He came this close to being in the second wave of going to the riots in Los Angeles. And he came this far away from going to Somalia. And now with things heating up in Korea and Bosnia, Serbia, he's getting a medical discharge and will be home in 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, we really, really praise and thank the Lord for his overruling along those lines. And ask an interest in your prayers that with my son coming home to us, our son coming home to us, that we can have our arms open and be willing to help in any way we can. He was very encouraging in what he said to us, that he wanted to seek more after things of the Lord in his life. I think he's seen the depravity of some of marine life and the way it can be, and a lot of the people that he associated with, and really saw the contrast. And he's coming back with a renewed attitude. I think Sister Debbie would agree. So we ask an interest in your prayers, that at this very vulnerable time again in his life, we can be there for him to support him and encourage him along spiritual lines and along the lines of righteousness. And we would really really need your prayers along those lines. So we thank you for that. It's good to see all of you. We love you very much from right here, and it's good to be here.
Thank you, Brother Larry, for bringing us your own feelings about the difficulties that you saw on the TV, but also asking us for prayers. And, brethren, I really would encourage you, not only in your opportunities of praying for them regarding Ron's new experiences back home, but if you have a chance to be with Ron at some point in time in the near future, to find ways of encouraging him. And, you know, don't expect him to jump into everything that you might want for him immediately, but with gentle friendship, I'm sure it can be a real blessing to him. Gentle friendship. I want to bring to your attention the fact that there is a letter to be signed, and I don't know how many of you have had a chance to sign it, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But tomorrow when the chairman asks you, I hope a lot of you can have your hands up. It's out in the lobby. Please sign it for the brethren who can't be at the convention, and or who are far away in shut-ins, and those who are suffering from various illnesses and difficulties. Who'd like to testify? Do you think this is too big an order to ask you to testify about a cup experience? Then testify about something that's not such a big experience that you feel has to be the Sister Isabel, please. Didn't mean to interrupt you as you stood up. You might just want to bend that microphone towards you. That's okay. Just bend it down. Good.
In studying the memorial, it made me think of an experience I went through before. I was a member of the Bible study group. It made me think about Jesus being alone. And it was when my daughter, who was 18, was dying. And I couldn't get any word of comfort from anyone. But I told my husband it was the Lord's will. And I feel like I know what it is to be alone. And now I didn't feel that bad when my husband died, because he'd went through too much stress and he didn't see any way out of it. And I came into the truth through my son. He was in college, and I'd never heard of the Bible students before, so I started going. And then in 90, I felt that I had to join. We had Brother David Chastain as our elder, and I felt the need very much. And I did get to go to Israel. It was a wonderful experience. And I give out as many tracts as I possibly can. I sometimes get advertisement letters, and when they have free postage, I'll put in a tract and send it. And in Israel, I was able to give a tract to a UN soldier who spoke English, and to another Israeli soldier who understood English. And oh, it was a most wonderful trip. And when we were at the Jordan River, there were three Orthodox rabbis, and the last one who came up, I gave a booklet, a favor to time to favor sign, and he was so I don't know. Brother Tomomas was telling him about God's promises, and he says, "Yes, I know. You have to come as a little child." And he had such humility. It really touched me. And I was talking to on the phone to some business, and I got a recording that a mother had died. So I called the next day, and the people were there, and I asked if they would be offended if I sent them some material that I was a Bible student. And they said, no, that would be fine. Well, I haven't heard from them since then. It's been a rather short time. I do ask interest in your prayers, and I pray for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Sister Isabel. I think when we have experiences, as proved out by these words, we do have not only a sensitivity and a desire to help others, but we're able to put into practice the reaching out, the talking to, the touching others' hearts with the truth that we know comforted us. I think that's one of the things we want to keep in mind of at this time also, as all the year. Thank you, and Lord bless you, Sister Isabel. We're glad that you had the ability to be a witness in so many different ways also. Who else would like to testify? Please, Sister Duran.
Bob, it is not too much to ask to testify, but I don't know how anybody else feels. It seems like it's harder for me now than it ever was before to come before the brethren and to tell what's in my heart. I'm very, very happy indeed to be here, because I didn't think I was going to be able to come, but the Lord overruled it and made it possible for me to attend. I could relate with Brother Owen about how debilitating pain can be, because I've had a share of it myself here lately. And it's debilitating, and you want it to go away, but it also affects, or does me at any rate, in a very strange way. Because together with that, I had the responsibility of taking care of somebody else. And the effect it had on me was one of anger. Not because I had the responsibility, but because I couldn't carry out that responsibility in the manner that I thought it should have been done. And the result was that I was angry with myself. And I don't think it came across that way to others, but I know how I felt about it. It's just hard for me to get my head together. I'm thankful for the experience. It's probably the first one in my life of a physical thing like that. And I received a telephone call from a very dear sister, and she said, "I'm praying for you all the time that the Lord would give you some relief." And of course, in my inimitable quick response, I said, "Don't do that." And she said, "Oh, why?" And I said, "Because I've been thinking about this pretty much, and I'm thinking that if this is the Lord's way of consuming the flesh, so be it." And she said, "Well, I never thought of it that way. And if it is, it's fine. I'm in agreement, and that's the way it's going to be. But I do want to be. I want to remember to still try to be as Christ-like as I can in these experiences. And I know the flesh gets in the way a whole lot. It's been with me for nearly 80 years, and I know that I can't get rid of some of these ways and habits that I have, no matter how hard I try. So I'm just going to ask for your prayers that I can continue leaning on the Lord, looking for His guidance and appropriating to myself all the precious promises that He has made to us. He said that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. I remember my brethren in prayer, particularly those who are having severe experiences, whether it's physical or a spiritual weakness or isolation or death, especially those. I was thinking of Sister Isabella. She spoke here. I have never had that experience. I've had experience in death experience in very many, many members of my family. But just the thought of ones like Sister Isabel.
Thank you for sharing how your heart is touched, Sister Evelyn. Very difficult to put in words all the feelings that we have for those we love and those we have seen go through suffering. The Lord give you strength and bless you. And I think I understand how you feel there about, you know, feeling kind of down on yourself when you can't help someone else when you're down yourself. It's debilitating. But the Lord give you strength and continue. Who'll be next? Sister Carol.
Very dangerous for me to get.
Carol, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Larry, bring her this way. I think behind the mic, close with the speaker. Sorry, Carol. Interruption.
I think I needed that interruption. It's dangerous for me to get up here when I've already been crying. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm thankful to the Lord. And I had a cup experience this week that I'd like to share. I was working with a 7.5-year-old child with cerebral palsy. She's very smart. She's in a wheelchair. And she can take a few steps if I hold her up. And I said, "Now we have some students here today, and they'd like to see what we're doing. But I would like you to tell them what you want to say about yourself." And she said, "You mean that when I was born, my brain was hurt, and I didn't get enough oxygen?" And she looked at me, and I said, "Whatever you want to say." So she looked at me, and her lip came out, and she started to cry. And I got down on my knees in front of the wheelchair. And we just hugged each other. And I said, I don't know if I can say this without crying, which I couldn't. But I said, I'm sorry that your brain got hurt too. And that's something worth crying about. But the day is coming when your brain will work perfectly. And so will everybody else's. And she reached down and she wiped my tears. I thought about Jesus. And I thought about, if I could do it right then, it would. And I kept thinking about the scripture, how people, if they've done something to the least of one of the Lord's, he counts it unto them. And I just kept praying that in her memory, in the kingdom, that I could be a witness to her, that she would know that I had tried to be one of the Lord's little ones. And I'm sorry that I couldn't say that with a straight face. But any of you who are parents, I'm sure you can appreciate how tender that must be when a child comforts an adult. Thanks. And the blessings of my cup this year have been more of joy than sorrow. And the opportunities to be in Israel and to be in the garden and to think about that. And it has been such an inspiration that I want to fully be consumed on the Lord's altar and lay down my life in any way that he sees fit. And I do ask an interest in your prayers to that end. Oh, and I also bring, I'm sorry, the special love of Sister Vanessa Stillwell, who is one corn of wheat out in the land alone. And by the Lord's grace, she is growing. And she sends her special love. If the Lord is willing, she will get one convention this year. That's one meeting with brethren. And I would ask that you would remember her for memorial. She'll probably be partaking of it alone. But she is growing so well. She's such an encouragement. And I'm sure she would appreciate your prayers.
And Jesus was touched with compassion. And he healed them of all their illnesses. I think we have to have a like sense of compassion. I think that's very appropriate. I can't imagine how we couldn't want to reach out and help such a child or anyone. But you know, the world is filled with people whose brains are damaged at birth and others whose brains are damaged as they grow up. And some of those people are doing terrible things around this world, and the job of straightening them out is going to be probably a lot harder than fixing that poor child's brain. Because the damage that some of these people are doing to their own minds right now out in Bosnia, Serbia, wherever, is just devastating. Those people are absolutely sick. Very sick. Stredney, Lord bless you, Carol.
Bob, dear brethren, Sister Edna Chastain from the Hope Ecclesia. I'm very happy to be at the convention. I've certainly enjoyed the talks immensely. And I have just a little, I've had a little bit of an opportunity to overcome the flesh, a little bit at work. I had my, what they call, review for the year. And this is going to be my last year, hopefully, of working. I intend to retire next year, and they knew this. And when I went in, the review was the worst one I'd ever had. I've been there 10 years. And I had tried harder this year, I think, than any other year. I'd even worked in other departments because, as was brought out, the insurance companies are in trouble. And our insurance, particularly the commercial department, was in very bad trouble. So I elected to go and help them, and I did a lot of different things, and it was quite a blow to my ego. And I was thinking at this time, I'd just been thinking, this is the first memorial when I don't think that I really had a very a real difficult time. And I was just talking. I was like, oh, Lord. And then at work, I've always been pretty well received by everyone, even with witnessing. And I've always wondered if I was doing something wrong, because I always thought that everybody liked me, and that's kind of bad sometimes. So I was lamenting on these things. And then when this came up, my boss called me, and I said, I don't agree with your review. But I said, I will accept it because I believe it's from the Lord. And she said, Edna, the Lord did not write your review. I did. And I said, yes, but the Lord permitted you to write the review for my admonition. And so I was feeling quite down, and I went home, and I'm a fighter, as maybe some of you know, and I wanted to go home, and I wanted to write up. I was going to really write something. And so I was sitting down. I was going to compose something, and the telephone rang, and I was very down. And a gentleman called on the phone. He said, I receive each month from your Bible group, he said, and there's a telephone number on here, and it's your number. He says, I wonder if I could talk to you a little bit about the scriptures. And I thought, oh, no, not the way I'm feeling now, no, dear Lord. And I thought, I'll never be able to remember anything. And it was the most wonderful thing, because we talked for nearly an hour. And he said we agreed on everything except one scripture, but it was amazing because he started out by disagreeing with me. And then when I would tell him or read him something, he would agree with me. And he thought the one thing that we disagreed on, I think, the most, he thought that after the little season that everyone would have a spiritual reward. And I was trying to show him, and I told him, I said, you received our first bond? Yes. But he said, I had a little trouble with some of it. And I said, well, if you'll go to Nature's Distinct. And the Lord helped me with this, because it's always been a revolution to me how the difference between mortality and immortality. I don't think the world ever understands those two concepts. And so I told him, I tried to bring forth to him about the difference between mortality. And mortality is not a bad thing, I told him. But immortality is a life within itself. So I was able to bring some various scriptures, and we talked for over an hour. And when I got off the phone, I never will forget my dear husband. He said, whenever you're going through a trial, and the Lord gives you a wonderful witness opportunity like that, he says, that shows that the Lord is still with you. And he's still walking with you, and you're still his. And so I got off, and I said a prayer and thanked the Heavenly Father for his wonderful help on this line. And it gave me courage, because I thought, what does it matter what they think? It's only important what the Lord thinks of us, and what he thinks, whether my work or anything else. Because I had a little motto a long time ago. It was on my desk, and it said, work as if everything depended on you, and live as if everything depended on God. And I really tried to do that. But when I went back this week, she wanted to talk to me again. And she had really changed her tune. And she said, you know, it's amazing in the last couple of weeks how you've changed. She said, you just do so much better work. And she said, it's just wonderful. She said, I just can't get over it. And I thought, well, that's all right. I haven't changed any. But if that's what she wants to see, that's fine. So I'm looking forward to my retirement. And I pray that I'll be able to do things for the Lord and be of more service to him and to the brethren and to because he's done so much for me. My whole life has just been so wonderful. I had wonderful parents. I had a wonderful husband. I had wonderful brethren that stuck by me through all these years. So I want to give something back to him. So I ask an interest in your prayers that I do remain faithful, and that I give him my all continually. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sister Edna May. Well, you know, supervisors have to justify their supervisory role, so if they can show that they've got you to improve, they've really done a good job. Obviously, she's going to have done a good job. We don't want to say how, but... And I'm glad you did have that witness experience. I think we're all glad that the one who writes our review, okay, is one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Sister Joanna.
I wanted to bring the love of my parents, the Higginsigs, and my sister Sherelle, and also of
Mark and Ella Chastain, who I stayed with last night and had wonderful fellowship with. And I just want to say that I'm very, very glad I could come to the convention here and that I love all of you very much. And I really appreciate the talks that I've heard this morning and found them very relevant to things that are going on in my life right now. And I appreciate all the brethren and love you all.
Thank you for bringing that love, and also from not only from far away, but from nearby. Let's also remember to remind me to ask us all to gather to send love. What's our hour here? Oh, okay, let's go. Yes, Brother John. Brother John, and then come.
I'm Brother John Baker from the Hope Ecclesia, and I wanted to particularly come up and bring the love of Sister Marguerite Alfano to the brethren. She's a sister who is new to our Ecclesia. She wanted very much to be here. This would have been her first Columbus Convention. Last weekend she went to the Fort Worth Convention, had an experience there, and had to go to the hospital with an asthma attack. And so the doctor advised her this week that she couldn't come. And in talking with her, she said, well, she didn't think she was having any memorial experiences this year, but not coming to the convention for her was a memorial experience. It's been very good to have her in our ecclesia. I think if you ask any of the brethren who are here from our class, sometimes the Lord brings into our midst someone, and of course, our gain is another ecclesia's loss in this case. But sometimes the Lord brings into our midst someone who really just rejoices and appreciates everything so much. And it's been very impressive to me how beautiful that grace of gratitude is. And one time one of the brethren related to me, this is a little unrelated in one way, in another ecclesia, the family of the brethren do all of the meals for the convention, and they serve and they take everything for the brethren. And it's really quite impressive to go and see a family that's not consecrated do that. And I told one of the brethren, you know, how much appreciated that, and several others did also. And the brother said, well, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of these unconsecrated, here come all these brethren smiling and so grateful for the least things that these individuals do, you can understand that they get the biggest blessing of serving the brethren. And I just was thinking about that with Sister Alfano, because she thinks she gets the biggest blessing. But that spirit of rejoicing is such a help to us. And I wanted to share that. I think conversely to Sister Edna, many years I've wondered why I didn't have memorial experiences, that it seems that's been the exception in my experience. This year, we have had very difficult memorial experiences, and just in principle, brethren, in our own makeup, I want very much to help others, and the Lord seems to this year put us in situations where the Lord says, I recognize you want to help these others, but you have to follow the Lord's principles. And in some ways it's been a real test, because I think we all, as Sister Carol was saying, you know, when we see someone oppressed or we see some problem, we want to relieve that immediately. But we have to follow and do things in the Lord's time. And many times I've rushed in, I've gotten into trouble because I haven't followed the principles as I should have. And so I want very much to do that and be pleasing to my Heavenly Father first. And so I do ask an interest in your prayers.
This is a very good admonition, Brother John, out of your experiences. And so we should remember that we can share these experiences with others, that they might also learn a lesson that we may have had to go through a much more difficult experience to learn. Thank you for sharing that, Brother John. Brother Joe. Excuse me.
And Brother Joe Knapp from Chicago. I wasn't sure I should testify because at It was titled A Cup Experience, and I don't really feel I've had any, certainly nothing of the scope or scale that some have mentioned here. I haven't had anything come anywhere near that approximation. On the other hand, I think I have probably been the cup experience for some other brethren, and my wife in particular. And I'm not proud about that, but it's an honest thing to say. And I've recognized most recently, probably one of the biggest blessings of this current year, including, you know, within the current 12 months, past 12 months, has been to recognize how much I've taken my wife for granted and how I'm in the process of trying to correct that, except I'm behind so many eight balls. I can't say no, so I'm so overly committed, it's ridiculous, except I am now committed that as soon as I finish these commitments I have, I won't take on any more of those type of commitments, if you know what I mean. And I hope to be able to spend more time with and show more appreciation of my wife than I have for all these many years past. I've taken her so for granted. And hopefully, too, at the same time, I'll be able to show more concern and compassion to some of my own children, whom I've also really put to the test over the years, and be more of a blessing to them. If I had a cup experience that I had looked back this past year, and I could say this past 3 or 4 years, the way things have been going in general, the most deeply sorrowful thing and personally touching thing in my entire life is what I view, and I'm sure all of you view, is the various forms of sifting and testing that are going on among the brethren. And this has many times in the past, and even at any moment when I think of a particular situation, reached deep into my heart and really touched me and has brought me to tears at times over how this is being done, what's happening here. And I think, in my personal understanding of what I've arrived at, I am absolutely convinced there is nothing, there is no more valuable thing of all the virtues that we are to acquire than agape, as we generally say, and actually what's used far more frequently in scriptures, agapeo, which is the verb form, loving the brethren, not just having a love for them, but loving them. And I think it's a two-sided, two-directional street. It's not a one-way street. And I think we've all seen instances of where when someone has felt, for whatever reason that we can't comprehend, led of the Lord, we meaning the majority who happen to be in a given fixed situation in a given ecclesia, and we see somebody who feels or understands that the Lord has drawn them to do something slightly different, that so many of the majority then have a problem anymore having love or continuing to be able to love that individual who has become different. And on the other hand, there are instances where the one who has become different and feels they have a higher, clearer, better, closer view to that of the Lord has a problem having and continuing to love those of the majority whom they feel they have moved ahead of. And so it's not that one is right or one is wrong, and we find this relative to doctrinal issues, this sifting occurs, relative to character development issues, this sifting occurs, rather relative to works or activities that these things can occur. And I think the sadness in the whole thing and what gets me, what bothers me and brings me at times to tears is that the brethren who have, to at that point in their lives, been able to love and understand love, suddenly feel that some individual or maybe a large group is beyond their ability to include in their love. And this is sad. This is really sad, brethren. And we should all look to ourselves to see that this isn't true of us. Because as was mentioned earlier today, God loved the whole entire world, including his enemies, including those who hated him. He loved them. And this isn't difficult to understand. And it isn't difficult to have in your heart if your understanding of love is the same as God's, being that I understand it is God's greatest desire for that individual's good. That's what God wants for everybody. And if somebody is willingly running toward God, God doesn't have to do a whole lot to keep him happy and keep him coming. But if somebody's running away from God, God needs to work all the harder to understand them and work with them and turn them around. And if we could all hold in our own hearts this sort of love, this sort of concern for our brethren, to see where they are, what they're doing, and how can we be a benefit and a blessing to them, how can we profit them? What's the next best thing we could do for them? And it's certainly not that I succeed in this all the time. But I so appreciate that the Lord has given me this type of understanding that I can look at the brethren this way, all of the brethren, and I discount nobody. I have nobody. I know nobody among the Bible students and many other Christian groups, for that matter, that I've known closely who are not my brethren. I separate none, and I desire nothing but the best for all.